Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. 41 years ago, I took criminal procedure from Jerry Israel, wonderful professor at the University of Michigan Law School, and I've defended exactly one criminal defendant since then, so I do not hold myself out as expert on anything except the due process issues here. Senator Tom Cotton went to Harvard Law School. Coming up after him is Senator Ted Cruz. I went to get the Harvard lawyers to find out what's going on in this trial, because Senator Cotton, to just the old administrative lawyer con law professor in me, this trial is a nightmare, is so far off the rails, it should get a directed verdict today. It won't. What do you think of it?
Well, Hugh, the entire trial has been a sham from the very beginning, with a partisan prosecutor who campaigned on a platform of indicting Donald Trump, and a partisan judge who's consistently ruled erroneously against President Trump, who should have recused himself probably because of his daughter's work for partisan Democrats like Adam Schiff. But if you just look at the underlying legal issue, as you say, Hugh, it's a total denial of due process. That they've got this concocted theory where they take some misdemeanor bookkeeping entries and bump them up to a felony because those supposed misdemeanor crimes are designed to cover up another offense. What's the other offense? The prosecution has rested its case, Hugh, and Donald Trump still doesn't know what the other underlying offense is that these supposed bookkeeping entries supposed to cover up. I mean, are we going to get that in closing arguments? Is he going to get it in the jury instruction? How can he defend himself?
I'm not a criminal lawyer, but my understanding of basic due process is that every defendant has a right to know with what they are charged, the elements of the crime, and Donald Trump does not know that. And it hasn't been specified. I don't even know how the indictment got out of the grand jury. How did they get past the statute?
I can't understand how the indictment got out of the grand jury either, and how this partisan judge allowed it to proceed. And an element of the misdemeanor offense bumped up to a felony is you have to specify which law was broken. You can't just concoct vague, generalized theories like, oh, Donald Trump conspired to influence the election. You have to point to a specific section of the criminal law, either of the United States or New York or some other state. You can't just have vague accusations. This should have never gotten to court. But Hugh, let me just say also, look at the alleged bookkeeping fraud as well. So Donald Trump supposedly called legal services, or his organization referred to legal services, what it paid Michael Cohen to negotiate, draft, and execute a non-disclosure agreement. Hugh, those are legal services. I don't even understand where the supposed main crime is.
I don't either. I really have been mystified by this. And I'm mystified how Brad Smith doesn't get to testify. Having served on the Federal Election Commission, Professor Smith would be in a good position to say what had previously been found a crime. Not to give jury instructions, but to testify as to his own experience. And Merchant kept him off the stand.
There's no question that we prosecuted and rested the case. Not only is it not proved this crime, it hasn't proved any crime whatsoever. Not a shred of evidence of any crime that Donald Trump has committed. There is no question that this judge should enter a directed verdict of not guilty for Donald Trump. It is the only way to redeem his multiple erroneous, reversible errors throughout this trial.
Now, I also believe it is deeply unfair to the former president to postpone final arguments until next week. There is no reason that they can't jam this, and when Cohen's meltdown freshen their mind, they go into the jury room. I really don't understand another 5-day, 6-day delay here, Senator. Do you?
Well, it's just another way that this partisan judge is putting his thumb on the scale for Alvin Bragg in this prosecution. There is no reason to go forward or to wait until all of next week. I gather that the defense rested its case yesterday. It was going to rest its case today. The judge told them last week to be prepared to give closing statements as early as Tuesday. They should be prepared. This case should be going to the jury with Michael Cohen's multiple lies fresh in their mind. Instead, the judge is going to have them go off and take a long weekend and get it out of their mind and hopefully come back, I'm sure, in his mind, with their prejudices restored against Donald Trump.
Some of them watch MSNBC. I think he wants a weekend of MSNBC legal experts, in quotation mark. Let me read this to you, Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, just another example is the testimony of Stormy Daniels, which was gossipy and salacious and legally irrelevant, almost every single bit of it. And the judge acknowledged that it got far afield and some of the things should have been left unsaid, but he chided the defense attorneys for not objecting. Well, it's the judge's responsibility to make sure a witness stays on track as well, is not engaged in legally immaterial commentary. The reason this partisan judge did not fulfill his duty there is he wanted to make the defense object, so it would look to the jury like President Trump's lawyers had something to hide. He should have been doing that. Just another example of how he puts his finger on the scales against President Trump at every turn.
Now, I have not made a big deal out of Judge Merchan's daughter, because like Justice Alito's wife and Justice Thomas's wife, spouses are not fair game for recusals. In fact, Marty Ginsburg freed Frank, had a number of cases when Justice Ginsburg was in front of the court, and no one ever thought that he would be recused. It's just stupid.
How about Judge Merchan himself giving money to Joe Biden?
I'm bringing that up right now.
Money to a partisan political candidate.
I think a lot of commentators have dismissed it because it's small. Let me give the details to the audience. Judge Merchan gave $35 to a Democratic group, Act Blue, that included $15 earmarked for Biden for president and 10 each to the Progressive Turnout Project and Stop Republicans. Now, I bring this up because it is so small, $35. I think erroneously many people say it doesn't matter. In fact, it's intended to send a sign. It's a symbol. That's all it is. There's a symbolic contribution. It's the kind that ought to make him off the bench. Do you agree or disagree, Senator?
Absolutely. And in fact, what judges don't have any business giving a dime to political candidates. Sure, I know that some judges get to their position because they've been loyal Republicans or loyal Democrats, and they've volunteered on campaigns and done legal work for them to give them money. I understand that. But the minute you put on those robes, you're no longer a partisan actor. You should not be giving money to any political candidate in any amount. But I agree, Judge Merchan gave that amount because he wanted to signal to everyone in New York City and in New York State that he was a reliable partisan Democrat.
And that is why he should not be on this. Now, I want to switch quickly, Senator, over to Israel. I had Haviv Rediger on for 40 minutes, and people can listen to that over at Highly Concentrated Hugh if you missed it. He's, I think, just the best young journalist in Israel. But we were talking in the course of that about the David Ignatius column today, more signaling from Team Biden through a columnist, either it's Thomas Friedman or David Ignatius, about what they want. And I asked him, are you tempted to say, you know, quote Kurt Vonnegut, go take a flying blank at a rolling donut, go take a flying blank at the moon? What do you think about this, Senator?
well, Hugh, it's been clear now for months that Joe Biden is putting more pressure on the Israelis than he's putting on Hamas and its patrons. If he had simply backed Israel to the hilt from the beginning and made a simple demand on Hamas, unconditional surrender and return of the hostages immediately, this war probably would have already been over. And you wouldn't have had suffering and casualties in Gaza that Hamas has inflicted on its own people. And you wouldn't have had hostages dying in captivity. But because President Biden is kowtowing and catering to a small but outsized vocal minority, pro-Hamas minority in his own party against the large pro-Israel majority of the American people, Israel is facing pressure at every turn.
Last question, Senator. I want to give you the opportunity to extend your condolences to the Iranian people like the State Department did yesterday. I'm not doing that. Whenever evil people die, I don't say anything. But what did you think of the State Department extending condolences to Iran on the death of the Butcher of Tehran?
Well, Hugh, I do want to extend my deepest and heartfelt condolences to the people of Iran that they are still governed by a bunch of theocratic dictators, most importantly, the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. It was appalling to see Joe Biden's administration extend condolences, not just for any old president of Iran, but for Ibrahim Raisi, who has the nickname the Butcher of Tehran. He has so tormented his own people. Again, it's a sign of the flawed moral compass of this administration, which is always currying favor with our enemies and always coming down hard on our friends.
Amen. May it sow confusion among our enemies. Senator Tom Cotton, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, Senator.